The Alpha Sessions.
Hi, welcome to Radio Broccoli. I'm here with Sophia. How you doing?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you.
So we're going to hear a couple of songs that you've written for us and everything. So the one coming up is Half of It.
Yes, the Half of It.
Would you like to tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. So I wrote the Half of It about like early adulthood. Mm-hmm. Just trying to figure out how to do life as like a 20-year-old. I had no idea. And feeling like people have high expectations of you, mm-hmm. and kind of trying to live up to, you know, people's expectations and not let people down. But at the end of the day, like, nobody's perfect.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm trying. Like, what do you want from me? Like, I'm doing my best.
Yeah, I feel like that's like, I mean, there's a sort of like feminism feel to the song.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I sometimes hear this coming from guys who are like in their, you know, early 20s, who are just like, I just can't seem to get it right and everything. But I never heard it so much from women in their 20s.
Yeah.
Because it's not just something that recently just came upon you. It's something that we kind of carry from,
it's been
like,
a builder. It's been building.
building since we were like kids.
Yeah.
And like, when I heard that song for the first time, I was literally just kind of like enter the Barbie monologue right here.
Literally.
To be perfect but not too perfect.
Yeah exactly.
And so it's just kind of like you get to a point where you're just sitting there and everyone's telling you you're doing everything wrong, but you're like, I'm trying. Is there anything in like any event or something in particular that inspired it, or like what does it make you think of?
I mean, I was kind of thinking about like my childhood, and I've always been like a goody two-shoes.
Same.
Like,
yeah,
always. Like, I was never a naughty kid. I never, like, you know. But I was thinking of, like, little things I did as a kid that, like, were not so good. And the song's kind of, like, a collection of, like, confessions, I guess, of, like, things I've done that are not so good as a kid. Like, telling lies to my mum and a broken window and blamed it on this girl called Joanna. Sorry,
yeah.
Joe. Like, official apology to Joe. But at the end of the day, those are like tiny things, and kind
but
of
the
like
tiny things feel big.
Big when you're a goody two shoes.
Yeah.
And also as an adult now, I'm kind of like, I still make bad choices even though I'm a goody two shoes. Like, is there a little room for me to slip up? You know, every
the
now and then.
The thing is, kind like, I don't know. I just kind of think like I blame it on the system. Like, were you also one of those kids that was like a gifted and talented kid at a young age, and then grew up to be like, what am I supposed to be doing now?
Sort of. I mean, like, yeah.
I feel like it's kind of like a chain reaction. I hear it so many times from all the kids who are like the gifted kids in primary school, and then when they get to adulthood, they're literally just kind of like, I'm not doing anything right. How come I'm not getting the certificates and everything? How come I'm not living up to all these expectations?
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, for me, like, in school, like, I worked really hard in school. Like, that was a huge part of my life. Like, I kind of busted my gut to do well in school, and then I graduated high school and didn't go to uni. I was like, oh, what was that for? Like, like, all that hard work, I didn't, you know, go to university. I chose to be a musician, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of, I mean, yeah, I think there's, like, a lot of pressure with being a musician, as it is. I think, like, when people say it like that, when they're just like, oh, I chose to be a musician and nothing great, like, you realize how much you have to do as a musician.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much that goes into it. Like, it's not just figuring out the algorithm and the marketing, but you have to write the songs and produce them so specifically to get people interested. You have to have a certain image. You have to say certain things. You have to, like, you have to promote yourself so much in a, like, in a society that just doesn't go and see live music anymore. A society that's so, like, there's the, what's it called? Like, the lonely epidemic or something.
Sure, yeah.
Because everyone's just on their phones, they're not going outside. Do you realize how much harder it is to be a musician in this time? It's so much harder.
It is hard, but I think in ways it's also easier. Like, I'm reading this book at the moment called Everything You Need to Know About the Music Industry. And it's like, with, you know, the power of social media, like, artists have never had more power because it's so accessible to kind of put yourself out there, which is great, but also that comes with its own, like, difficulties.
Yeah, but like, doesn't that mean that the competition is so much harder exactly. as well?
So there's, because, there's,
yeah, there's a good and there's a bad. That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can quite easily, like, yeah, you have so much power in the palm of your hand, literally now. Mm. But it's the fact that everybody else has that power.
Mm.
So it's like,
exactly,
you're kind of in the deep end, and yeah. everybody else is trying to claw their way up and just exactly. being like, me, please.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I'm sort of holding out hope, because all of my favorite artists I actually discovered on TikTok. So I'm like, surely, oh, like, someone might see my music on TikTok and be like, hey.
I do. I'm one of the, I think I'm part of that generation that's like supposed to love TikTok, but I'm like, I fear it.
It's a love-hate sort of thing going.
Yeah, I read out, like, I reinstall it and then I uninstall it again, because I'm just like, oh, I'm tired of, like, the fact that every video I see is an ad now. It's yeah. just like, buy this on TikTok shop and everything. But yeah, I found this, like, I watched this sort of like podcast debate thing about it. And they were just like, you realize that everyone is just a salesperson now.
Mm.
That's all it is. Mm. It's just in a different format.
Mm.
People were doing this before. You had ads in front of your face all the time. People knocking at your door being like, would you like to buy this?
Yeah, true.
But now it's just on your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true.
I used to dye my hair bleach blonde. I used to tell lies to my mother just for fun. I broke a window once and blamed it on Joanna when I was young. When I was young, and I still make bad choices, but there are reasons for it. Oh, you wouldn't know the half of it. I've told you time and time again, I'm not perfect. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? I try to be good, but I forgot. I try to be fun, but I am not. I try to be wise, but I got lost. I never skipped a class, I never failed a test, but I lost some friends and drove my car where I shouldn't have. I picked a fight with dad on my 18th birthday when I was young, so goddamn young. And I still make bad choices, but for it. Oh, you wouldn't know the half of it. I've told you time and time again, I'm not perfect. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? I try to be good, but I forgot. I try to be fun, but I am not. I try to be wise, but I got lost. I'm so scared to grow old, I never know what road. Trip over my feet trying, every little thing makes me feel like I'm dying. I'm so scared to grow old, I never know what road. Trip over my feet trying, every little thing makes me feel like I'm dying. Every little thing makes me feel like I'm dying. Every little thing makes me feel like I'm dying. Every Every little thing, every little thing. Oh, you wouldn't know the half of it. I've told you time and time again, I'm not perfect. What do you want from me? What do you want from me? try to be good, but I forgot. I try to be fun, but I am not. I try to be wise, but I got lost. I try to be all the things I'm not.
The Alpha Sessions.
And we're back. That was beautifully performed.
Thank you.
I have not complimented yet your outfit today. I love this attire.
Thank you very much. It's very color coordinated. Thank you.
You look like a storybook character.
Oh, stop. That's so kind.
I don't know what it is, but it's just like this whole getup. You look like...
love it.
I don't know. It's especially... I mean, like, camera can't see, but the shoes.
Oh, I wish the camera could see the shoes.
They go with this entire aesthetic of like a storybook character going through the forest of like, what will we see on our adventures today?
I love that.
They should make a storybook. What do you think like your storybook would be about?
Oh gosh. I don't know. That's a tricky one. Yeah, I'd have to think about that and get back to you. What would yours be?
I think like mine would be like I just kind of fell into something and now I'm like, well, I guess here we are. Let's figure out the problem. Because I think that's just the majority of my life. Even being here.
Yeah, I think true.
It was just literally like I somehow find myself in different situations where people are like, wow, how did you get into that? And I'm like, I literally just kind of stumbled. I'm just like, okay, let's do this then. We're here.
That's a great way to go about life, though, I feel like.
So I think my storybook character would just kind of like, it's a very Alice in Wonderland thing for me, where I just fall into a hole and I'm like, well, we're here now.
I like that.
Let's just see where this road takes us.
I like that. That's cool.
I think, like, what's your favorite storybook character, though?
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like that says a lot about someone's personality.
Favorite storybook character. I really loved, this is not a story, is it a storybook? Like a TV show, like Charlie and Lola. Like I used to love that.
Oh yeah, I remember Charlie and Lola.
That was so sweet.
Are you more like, Charlie or more Lola?
I think I'm more Lola, the troublemaker. Even though I'm a goody two shoes.
The goody two shoes troublemaker. See, that's a storybook in itself.
True, let's write it.
Yeah, it's a complicated sort of like balance of like, do I be goody goody or do I bend the rules a bit? It's like
story of my life. That is basically the half of it.
That's your storybook. We did it.
There you go.
Pitching the idea, whoever's watching now, if you do storybooks, that literally build your character off of that. The look is right and ready
straight
for
up.
You. I think my favorite storybook character, though, has to be Goldilocks. She's like, she's such a, I mean, I don't know if I can say the B word, bad bee. She's a bad bee. Imagine
having the guts
to just kind of like break into someone's house, like smash the windows, break in, then go,
right,
that chair's
disgusting. I'm a bit hungry.
I'm hungry. Let's get some orange.
And then be fussy about it.
Yeah, I sometimes read these storybooks. I'm like, no, but why did you do that? Anyway, we segued. But like, your next song you're going to perform for us is Motion Sick.
Yes.
Very like, very emotional.
Yeah, it is quite.
Where did this come from?
Well, I wrote this when I was 19, turning 20. Mm. And I feel like when you're almost 20, it's like, oh my gosh, like, this just got real. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're not a teenager anymore and it's kind of like, oh, I kind of need to, like, I'm an adult now. It's, like, for real. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, sitting on my bed and my bed was unmade and I was kind of, like, staring at my unmade bed being like, oh, like, I kind of feel like my unmade bed emotionally. It makes no sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
But I'm like, I'm just a bit of a mess. And like, you know.
You're functioning. Because the thing is, the bed is still functioning.
Yeah, but
it's
just
doing its purpose.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, being there to comfort other people. And like, just literally, like the bed's serving the purpose. It just looks a bit of a wreck because it's like, oh.
So that's how I was feeling. I was also like very new to London. So I'd only been in London for like 6 months. So I was still kind of like getting my bearings. I didn't really know like what I wanted to do or like everything was kind of new, friends, everything. So it was just kind of like a time of like uncertainty. And then, 20 was kind of just like dawning on me. I was like, oh.
Do you think that London like brings a different sound to your music?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I feel like I've done a lot of growing since being in London. Mm. Like, I've spent, like, I grew up in New Zealand, but I've spent all of my, like, adult years in London.
So what age did you move to London?
When I was 18.
When you were 18.
So
okay,
I was, like, freshly 18, and I was like, right, off I go.
Mm. That is, like, I feel like that's, like, a turning point age as well.
So I feel like a lot of formative, you know, like, 18, your early 20s are, like, very formative, so it's just, like, a lot of growing happened here.
Mm.
And I feel like I've kind of grown into myself a little bit.
You know something? Nice. I feel like 18 to, like, through early 20s, every single year you become an entirely new person.
Yeah.
When someone tells me that, like, I mean, like, yeah, if someone were to tell me that, like, they're the exact same person as they were, like, when they were 22 to when they were 24, I'm like, you're lying. You're lying to me. Because I do not listen to the same music. I do not, you know, wear the same clothes.
Yeah.
I'm not the same person whatsoever. And it's literally just 2 years different.
Yeah.
A
lot can happen. And
It does. A lot does happen when you're in those early years, because it's when you're experimenting with things. Like, you're still trying to figure out who you are. Because I think when, especially, like, growing up, you take from parents and people who were bringing you up, and everything around you is what's forming you at that age. But then when you move out, you go, like, you get to a certain distance away from those people that built you up to what you were at that point. You're like, okay, now I have to take from my own choice.
Mm.
I have to figure out what I want to wear. I have to figure out what kind of people I'm interested in dating. Mm. I have to figure out, you know, what I want to do as a career and stuff. And it's like,
so true.
You're bombarded with so many questions of who am I?
Yeah.
And there's no one to answer it.
Exactly.
Or help you answer it.
And, like, all of a sudden you have so much freedom. And so much choice.
You're exactly.
There's no one telling me what to do. Like, I can do anything.
Yeah.
But I think London's a great place for that, like, to kind of trial different things and, like, you know, because anything goes here, which I kind of love.
Yeah.
Like, everyone kind of stays in their own lane, but also at the same time, it's just like anything goes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it has had an effect on my music. I think my sound has changed a lot from when I was making music in New Zealand when I was, like, 16, 17, and was doing more, like, pop music.
Mm.
And then came to London and kind of felt more comfortable doing, like, singer-songwriter, in that genre, and just kind of very, like, lyric sort of focused music. So I play acoustic live, and I just love writing, and I kind of really, like, fell in love with writing when I got to London and wrote with other artists and did lots of collaborations and things.
You did, like, you produced music with was it Melrose?
Yes.
And I don't know if I can pronounce her name.
Joss Mowgli.
Joss Mowgli.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, I looked at that name and I was just kind of like, I'm going to pronounce this wrong one. And now I'm just kind of like, I'm not even going to attempt to tell me what the name is.
Mowgli.
What was it like producing with them?
So, Motion Sick, which is a single I released in May of this year. So that's out at the moment. I produced with Joss Mowgli in a studio in Hackney.
Oh, cool.
It was in, like, a little shipping container. In, like, I don't know what it was, really. But it was great. It was really sweet. A very cute little cozy studio. So we did Motion Sick in there. And then my producer, Mel Rose, we met at the Camden Songwriting Circle, which is a great little songwriting event.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, for musicians in London. And so we met there and kind of, like, hit it off straight away and did a session. And our first session together, we were in the studio for, like, 10 hours just, like, chatting and, like, writing and singing and laughing. We only left for, like, food and water, like, during the day. We're, like, right back to it. Like, it was the best. And then I kind of knew, like, Mel's going to be, like, a really important part of, like, my journey here and my music. And so he's producing a few tracks on my EP, which is coming out, which is really exciting.
I also really like how rare that is as well, where, like, when it comes to, because your music is such a personal thing, especially your music, like,
that's
very personal stuff you're talking about. And so to have someone that clicks with you enough that you can, like, not only share that stuff that you want to talk about, but they can put it into the music that connects with how you're feeling in your brain, it's like, I don't know, it's like a weird sort of like spiritual experience.
It is, yeah. Mm. Like the way you connect with people, and it is a very like nerve-wracking thing to kind of like, you know, give someone, you know, a piece of work that you've been, you know, creating, and it is very personal.
Mm.
And so, yeah, I feel very like lucky that we got on so well and kind of like clicked. And when we're in the studio together, it's kind of just like our brains kind of mold into one, and we just like think in the same way, which is really nice.
Mm.
So yeah.
So you think you're going to like produce with them again?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm working on my second EP at the moment.
Oh, cool.
The first EP's not even out yet.
I was literally going to say, are we going to expect anything?
Yeah.
Or like, tell us a little bit about this, like just before, can we?
Yeah, you can. So he produced the half of it, actually, which will be out on the 12th of August, which is my birthday, actually. So he produced that, which is a lot of fun. And then another song we wrote together called Bittersweet, which was about moving from New Zealand to London and then going back to New Zealand for the first time after being away for like a year and a half, and how it was quite bittersweet to like be back in my old hometown where like nothing had changed, but I was like, as you say, like a completely different person. I had changed so many times in the space of 2 years.
Don't even tell me about that kind of experience.
Yeah. Like, it's so weird. Strange. Because it's like I was in a simulation.
Yes, exactly. Like when you go back and like you've become that new person,
yeah,
but you're back in the setting of that old person.
Yeah.
It's
weird not to like fall into like who I used to be kind of thing.
But yeah, like, there's that. But so also weird. It's like you kind of feel as though like, I don't know, it's sort of like a out of body experience where you're just like, this doesn't feel right. This feels like I shouldn't be here because I'm not this person anymore.
Yeah, 100%.
And even with the fact that the hometown, like you said, like with mine as well, doesn't change.
Mm.
And so you become more aware of the surroundings that happened before, and you're like, I never noticed that was happening, or I never noticed how dull that was.
Yeah. Like it's, you know, that like my hometown, that was my whole life, and now like I have a whole other life that's like so much bigger over here. So it was really weird going back, but you know, it was bittersweet because it was lovely. Like I didn't see my grandma in a year and a half, and my you know, childhood friends,
definitely.
And it was kind of like there was like a release when I got home. I was like, oh, like I'm home, you know, I can give my mom a hug and like, you know, do all the things. But at the same time, it kind of like reaffirmed, you know, why I left, and like, you know, like that actually I made the right choice to go to London. And even though sometimes when I'm here, I'm like, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Am I, you know?
Yeah, like it does kind of confirm that. You go back, because you do get that even like still, I'm 28 and I still get that feeling of like, did I make the right choice?
Yeah.
Am I doing this right?
Should
I be somewhere else?
Yeah.
And then you kind of go back home and you're just like, no, I made the right choice.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
The song you're about to perform is Motion Sick.
Yes.
I had to remind myself because you changed the set. So I'm like, is this one right? So Motion Sick. Yeah, really looking forward to it. And here we go.
Bedsheets and piles, I'm not a child, but I feel like I am. It's May already, soon I'll be 20, still I can't make the bed. Night is sight for sore eyes, I'm falling behind. Even when I'm cutting corners, I've hit a crossroad. What do I know? I'm not wise like I thought I'd be. There's not one inch of me that knows where to go. Will I always feel like this? Turbulence. even when I'm standing still, I feel motion sick. I'm faking forbidding, who am I kidding? I don't believe a word that I speak. I'm happy, I suppose, but don't look too close, or you'll see the tears streaming down my cheek. Not a sight for sore eyes, I'm falling behind. Even when I'm cutting corners, I've hit a crossroad. What do I know? I'm not wise like I thought I'd be. There's not one inch of me that knows where to go. Will I always feel like this? Motion sick. Will I ever grow? Cause even when I'm standing still, I feel motion
Sessions.
And we're back. Okay. Like really emotional song, motion sick. I just love the lyric of like, even when you're standing still, you feel motion sick.
Thank
it's like,
you.
It, I love lyrics that sort of use that kind of imagery that you don't have to tell people straight to their face how you feel or what's going on. Just in those lyrics, they kind of, you can feel it because everyone's just like, oh. I admire lyrics like that where it's like even someone who hasn't gone through it will know how you feel just through that imagery. So the next song you're going to perform, final song, I don't want to talk about it. Do you want to talk about it?
I don't, but let's.
I would love to know a little bit more about this song because like even just listening to the lyrics, I was just kind of like, I'm confused. What's happening?
Me too. You know, I'm also confused. I mean, it kind of is on the same wave of the rest of the songs of like early adulthood.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole EP, it's called Turning 20. So it's all about like, you know, kind of figuring out what I'm doing. I don't want to talk about it. It's kind of like feeling like, you know, I've moved to London and... you know, like, what have I got to show for kind of, like, 2 years of living away? And, am I doing the right thing? It's kind of like, when people ask you, like, how's your life going? You're always like, oh, like, really good. Like, it's going well. Like, I love the city and I'm doing all this and this.
Mm.
But actually sometimes you're like, am I actually doing enough? And... actually, I don't want to talk about it. Like,
yeah, like this is the thing.
Don't ask me.
I feel like this. it comes with every single age. It's not just, I've found now that it's not just an early 20s thing of like, I well, don't like great. Being that is asked more of a how is your life. I feel like anybody at whatever age they're at, if they ask you like, how's your life going? How's your job going? How's like your relationship? I think every age people are just like, it's sitting there like, why do you have to ask?
Yeah.
Why do you have to ask that? I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. It's like the classic like great uncle at like the family get together that's like, so have you got a boyfriend yet? And you're like,
not
this again.
Yeah, like I don't want to hear these questions again.
Yeah.
Like, just because it's like, I think no matter what age you are at, there's always some sort of expectation that you're not quite living up to yet. Because you don't have this, you know, you don't have this amount of figures in your bank account. You don't have these many kids. You don't have, you know, you're not like married or you're not at this point in your career or whatever.
Mm.
Like, there's always going to be something that you feel as though you haven't like lived up to. So,
yeah.
Why do people still ask that question? Why do people still do
it? It's so true. I mean, there's a lyric in the second verse of the song, and it's, is this 19? Ha, what a mess. You best believe I'm telling everyone I'm living the dream.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, on the outside, I'm like, life is good. But on the inside, I'm like, is life good? So yeah, it's kind of, I guess, that like performative thing of like, yeah.
I think like the feel of the song as well, it really
but it's fun,
gave
also.
Like, I don't know, I felt like the London thing was coming out of you in that song, because I was like, this gives me like Lily Allen kind of vibes of like very tongue-in-cheek. You know, it's like the lyrics of like, let's play hide and seek or fly to Greece or whatever. It's just like that sort of reckless but also tongue-in-cheek feel. I was like, I can hear London.
In you. Like, I kind of wanted it to be fun. Like, it's not that deep. I mean, I love my life here, but I did kind of want it to, I guess, contrast the, like, meaning of the song for it to be kind of, like, fun and silly.
I just really like the feel of it, because I think that's something to relate to a lot, especially in your early 20s, because, like we were saying before, you're experimenting with so many things. You're trying to figure out what your favorite drink is. You're trying to figure out, like, what your style is like, and yeah, you're in like this big city where everything is right at your doorstep. It's so obviously you're gonna get reckless. You're gonna do like
a goody two shoes kind of way.
But it's like sort of like on a whim you could decide like, oh, I'm just gonna run away to Greece.
It's
like, I can't, because I'm in my early 20s, just gonna go.
Possibilities are endless.
Yeah, I also like how you said that, because all of the songs have this running theme. And yeah, I miss when albums did that, you know. I feel like recently I think albums do this thing where it's like each song has to be not just a hit but an individual song that doesn't need to relate to the other songs or even sound like it came from the same album. I miss when I could listen to an entire album and it was like a piece.
Yeah,
you know,
like I feel like this EP is kind of just like a chapter.
Yeah,
of my life.
Yeah.
So it all feels less like quite similar and yeah.
Are there any like artists that you've been listening to like inspire the album or?
In terms of writing, like I've always really loved Lizzie McAlpine. And I think she's really good at like making you, like her music alone, if you forget about the writing, just makes you feel just exactly how she feels, kind of like.
Yeah,
you could listen to one of her songs without the lyrics and know exactly what she's trying to say. It's just like, it's just very cohesive, and I just really enjoy all of her stuff. And there's another writer called Jenny Mitchell, who's a Kiwi songwriter. Not Joni Mitchell, easily.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're talking about Joni Mitchell.
No, I do love that. She's not a Kiwi girl. I love Joni Mitchell. But Jenny Mitchell, she like got me into songwriting when I was like 14, 15. She's a country artist and I like love her, and she's the reason I like got into writing. And I got to open for her actually in New Zealand when I was like 16, which was really cool. But yeah, I'd say a lot of my influences are like songwriters, like for me, like the writing comes first before the music.
Yeah. Do you remember the first song you ever wrote?
I do, yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Tell me, what was it?
It's actually a bit of a sad one. My grandpa passed away.
Oh.
And so I wrote it about him. And I think that was the first time where I was like, felt quite emotional.
Mm.
And I was like, I don't know what to do about this, you know? Mm. And it's the first time I kind of like felt like I needed an outlet for my emotions, and turns out that was the guitar. And then here we are, like 7 years later.
Yeah. That's really sweet.
Yeah.
I have another question, actually, about, like, your song. So if you had, like, one of those elevator pitch moments where, like, you're in the elevator with one of those, like, hot shot, like, music industry guys, you know, like, the one who's, like, got the suspenders, the cigar, just like, you got Maxi Kid, you know, like... What song, like, you can pitch him, like, the first, what, like, 5 seconds? What song are you going to pick to be, like,
of
that's
going
to, yeah, that's going to, like, captivate you?
Of my own songs.
Mm.
I think a lot of my songs start with just, like, guitar. So I'm not sure.
Okay, fine. I'll give you, like, the first, like... half of the song.
Yeah, just give me the whole
maybe
song.
5 seconds isn't actually that much, to be fair. That's a bit like, that was a bit of a impending doom kind of question.
Okay, there's there's an interesting moment in one of my songs. It's not at the start of the song, so if we could like play the song from like halfway through and then play it to the big man, he might be interested. It's in Bittersweet, which we've talked about, and it's like the break between the chorus and the second verse. There's like a little voicemail that my grandma sent me before I went to New Zealand, and it's just her like wishing me a bon voyage, and then it just saying like she loves me and like God bless and like, you know, look after yourself and everything, and then it like goes into the chorus, like this is the life I ran away from. So I feel like that's like quite emotional, but it depends. If he's like an emotional guy, he might be like, that's just your grandma having a chat on the phone.
Hot shot, like every big hot shot music industry guy,
he's
is like
got to have a soft spot.
He has a soft spot, but like I feel like there's that specific song that has to hit it.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that could do it. I think that could definitely do it.
But let's just
they've
start
all
from
got
the middle
a secret,
of
you
yeah,
know?
Exactly.
Like we've all got a secret emotional bit that they're hiding.
Yeah, so maybe that would do it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, if you were to get signed in the future, and they wanted to, like, mould you in a certain way, what point of what suggestion would you say, no, this is not for me, this isn't my kind of style?
Probably, like, me, like, 10 backup dancers, like,
okay, putting yeah, on I a see
sh-
that.
Like, that's not me, like...
yeah, okay, yeah, I see that.
Matching outfits, no.
Oh,
that's where I draw the line.
Like, you meaning, like, the sort of, like... I don't want to say
I don't
Sabrina
need dancers.
Carpenter.
Yeah, I love Sabrina. I think she's, like, fabulous.
This is the thing. I was like, but I didn't want to say Sabrina Carpenter, but, like, I can see, like, if someone made that suggestion to you...
Yeah.
I wouldn't, like, that wouldn't connect.
That would just...
Like,
no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually, like, a really good way of looking at it. Because I think, like, yeah, your music especially, like, is quite authentic and raw.
Yeah, so probably no, like, glitzy sequins.
Yeah.
You know?
To overlay really that with me. Glitter and sequins doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I grew up in musical theatre, so I, like, have a background of doing shows, and, like, I love that. Like, I love performing, and, like, I loved, like, the whole, you know, the jazz hands and, like, the big costumes and, like, that aspect I really enjoyed. But when it comes to my own music, where I'm like not playing a character, where I'm just like myself, like I won't be seen in a glitzy outfit, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With like 10 backup dancers.
I actually think that makes you more special, because like I think there's a lot of music today where it's just like so overproduced with every element, like the performance and everything, where I'm just kind of like, what I feel like we're lacking hearing music that's so like simple and raw. Yeah, so yeah, I think that like that's a good answer, and I think it'll actually work out well for you.
Okay, thanks. I mean, I'd like to like experiment visually with different things. Like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with like Lorde's solar power era.
Yes,
like her set design was really interesting.
Mm.
Like I saw her in New Zealand. Yeah, that was really cool. So I think like set design would be a good way to kind of like experiment with that.
I think I saw her in an interview at one point. One of her songs on Solar Power, she recorded cicadas because they were like, yeah. It was like during mating season or something, and she made like the beat out of like the noises that the cicadas would make.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I wasn't really that surprised either, but I was just that's like, cool. That is a weird way of looking at that. That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. Do you think you could ever like do that in the future?
Well, I once like made a demo song with one of my mates out of a toothbrush. We used a toothbrush as like a beat. Yeah.
That's really cute.
I don't think that song will ever see the light of day, but just like a toothbrush up to the microphone.
Nice.
As a drum beat. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
Maybe not as cool as like cicadas, but in that universe.
Anyway, so yeah, the last song you're going to perform to us is I Don't Want to Talk About It.
Yes.
I'm happy that you did talk about it with me, actually.
Thank you.
But yeah, it's been really, really great having you as well.
Thank you for having me.
So we're just going to close off with this song. It's been great having you.
Thank you so much. It's lovely.
My eyes are fixed. I watch the clock go tick and worry, have I wasted it? I cut the ties, booked a one-way ticket. I don't know what I am doing, but I'm doing it. Jumped in the car, no looking back. I'm leaving this town with guilt in the vet. Oh, I'll start over this October, cut out the lies, make new friends in Soho. Oh, 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 it's so fun to up and run. Don't ask me why. I don't wanna talk about it. I don't wanna talk about it. Oh, I'm into my cheeks in blue. Don't ask me why. I don't wanna talk about it. I don't wanna talk about it. Oh, shut up, don't speak, let's play hide and seek. I run off to Greece, cause I don't wanna talk about it. I don't really wanna. Oh, no, no, no. Give me a sign. Should I say a prayer each night? The lines are blurred, can't tell wrong from right. Is this 19? Ha, what a mess. You best believe I'm telling everyone I'm living the dream. Jumped in the cab, drinking my hand, driving off to the plans that I don't have. Oh, last October, got a do-over. Look at me now, I got nothing to show for it. Nothing, nothing. No, it's so fun to up and run. Don't ask me why. I don't wanna talk about it. I don't wanna talk about it. Oh, I'm into my cheeks turn blue. Don't ask me why. I don't wanna talk about it. Talk about it. So shut up, don't speak, let's play hide and seek. I'll run off to Greece, cause I don't wanna talk about it. I don't really wanna. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, 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 no. Oh no, no, no. Oh no, 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 no. Up and run, don't ask me why. I don't wanna talk about it. I don't wanna talk about it. Oh, I'm into my cheeks turn blue. Don't ask me why. I don't wanna talk about it. I don't wanna talk about it. So shut up, don't speak, let's play hide and seek. I run off to Greece, cause I don't wanna talk about it. Oh, no, no, no.
no,